This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Today we are speaking to Dr. Sipho Ndlela, a former alumni at MUT. He studied chemical engineering, graduate class of 1990, and he holds a PhD in the Lower State University. He is currently living in the United States of America. He has worked as a principal system engineer at Obantala Corporation, co-founder Alternative Energy for Africa, and he is currently based in the United States. Sir, good afternoon, or should I say good morning to you?
Good morning and good afternoon to you in South Africa. Good morning, good afternoon to the Mentech family.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on MUT Radio. As I've said, you are Dr. Sipho Ndlela, based in the United States, but obviously your background, it takes you back to South Africa, and specifically in MUT. You were part of the class of 1990. I was not even born by then. How was your favorite? what was your favorite MUT experience?
Wow, I graduated from high school, Vukuzakhe High School, 89, and I joined MUT. Those days was Mangwe City Technikon in 1990. And I took a different path from other people. Most people used to come there and do alternating semester. One semester, they will be there doing theoretical classes. The next semester, they will be there out on the field. Unilever was the biggest hire those times where they would go work for 6 months. But for me, I did the full 2 year theory, and after which I went to work in industry, which was terrible. But for me, when you talk about different things, I can reflect back on Emma also to those days. Was just the people who made a difference in my life, whether it was the lecturers, whether it was the students. Was for the first time, I got to socialize, I got to meet students from different parts of South Africa. Yeah. Having been stayed in Durban most of my life prior to that, of course, I traveled to Swaziland, I traveled to Johannesburg, but you become limited in realizing and recognizing that South Africa is not just the only space to celebrate or to socialize or to interact with others. I think just the aspect of meeting different from other countries was the big one for me. I mean, from other regions of South Africa.
Before you were an MUT student, obviously, South Africa, where were you actually born? Because I understand you are Dr. Ndlela, Umphemba, I believe. So where were you actually born, and how's it like growing Glenda or Wakulela Guyona? Ukule umuntu kanjani nje, umfana omncane, I understand. But how was it like? Ukule ekhaya nibangaki, probably.
Mina ngizobeka nje na ngikhulele eMlazi kwa A section ngasemahorn mission. Was born to ubaba u Nicholas Ndlela no mama uFungile Winnie Ndlela from eMlazi, and I come from a family of 8, two girls and 6 boys. I'm in the middle, so to say. I'm the 5th born. Just ukhulele eMlazi was very interesting because you during those times of apartheid, there was no hope because of the political system, but at the same time, poverty surrounded every family, most families in where we grew up. But it was all about the parent raising you with Christian beliefs, in my case. My family, my mom was a very strong Christian. My grandmother was a strong Christian. Yeah. To kind of bandage that pain of poverty and struggles, Christianity was what was, what I would say, a way of giving you strength and a way of helping you to say, hey, tomorrow is going to be better. So, yep, from Umlazi.
Okay, nice. Very nice. Let's come back to your qualifications. You hold a PhD in the Lower State University, if I stand to be corrected. What exactly do you do on a daily basis as a principal system engineer?
The field of chemical engineering is very interesting. It's that's what I pursued when I joined Mangosuthu Technikon back then, and I continued with the degree. Before that, I worked at Questable as part of chemical services, the company called SACO, South African Paper Chemicals. After which, I got a chance to work at Questable And I had a chance to also move and work for their technical department in Johannesburg, after which I then I came to the U.S. to do the undergraduate degree. All of those helped to shape me along the path to be a chemical engineer. So not only did I stop from the undergraduate level, I decided to go back and pursue a master's and PhD program. So as a chemical engineer, it's all about using math and science in driving impacts to the process, ensuring that things are flawless. When you talk about the process from your input to output, you want to make sure things that are happening inside the box is what you design the process. So as a principal engineer, you want to make sure that you have a process out there that you have designed it according to specifications. You want to make sure when you are saying, I'm making a product, that product is what you planned. When it's in the field, it is what it is. So you are at critical in making sure that when your systems can talk to each other. Now we talk about technology. So when you talk about those who are in chemical engineering, we'll talk about, hey, when you are controlling something, when you're using a pump or when you're using a level controller or when you're using a temperature sensor, you want all of those to sync to the parameters when you are making, for example, gasoline. You want to make sure that you're getting the good quality gasoline as an example, or petrol. So as we say in South Africa.
Yes, yeah. We know it as petrol. Now, Dr. Angela, your path is very interesting. It is very interesting. I'd like to know, Guti, how has it been? How has your path been? And how did you end up where you are today?
It's a very interesting path, actually, because in the 80s, there were a lot of programs where the United States, the United Kingdoms, and other nations were supporting South Africans to go study abroad. I became aware of a program back then, so it used to be called Educational Opportunities Council in 1988, where some of my friends at Evukuzake High School had applied for those programs. So I became curious as to what it is. So I started trying to apply immediately, and I tried actually multiple times. Educational Opportunities Council was a program that was very good for where you, those times when people who apply had two options, either you apply for the UK or the US. In my case, actually, I applied for the US because I already had that vision of being in Hollywood.
Yes.
Because you grew as much as social media is powerful those days, but television and radio, what you were always seeing when you, from the time of Wugexeni, it was umculo wasi America, noma umculo wasi UK. But that kind of impacted me in terms of, I want to see the world I've not been in. So, but anyway, so luckily, after a few tries, actually, through the Educational Opportunities Council in 1993, I got an opportunity to come to the U.S. The EOC was funded through an agency called the International Institute of Education, which is under the umbrella of USAID. USAID is a very, very big program. We hear about it across Africa, Europe, Asia, where the U.S. government has put funds to help third world countries on different programs. But this one, IIE, was specifically on education. So a lot of South Africans came through there. So, I mean, you have also now some programs called Fulbright under USAID too. So all of those programs are still some of the channels through which students can still come to the U.S.
Now, Dr. Lila, that is a very inspiring path that you're speaking about. And in that process, in that whole process, I understand that there might have been that one person who was your mentor in all this process. And who's that person, and how did they advise you to help you to where you are today?
Yes, for me, I'm fortunate that I had a mom who was a visionary, who always saw the good out of people, who was always encouraging us as kids to work hard. She did not have money. She struggled, but she ensured that education was the priority. I would say that was my mom. Basically, she pushed me. I remember when I came to her and I mentioned that, hey, ma, ngifuna ukufunda emafumbuka. Most of the time, people around my home. It was like Ukala Mbalasi, lower primary school, and then Wienkongoni. But for me, something changed. I wanted to go to a different area that was going to be like, you know, 20 minutes away from my house. And it actually started from Mzuzu High School. Mzuzu Lapanagati.
Yes, I see.
So for her, it was different. It was like, she didn't question that. But why do you have to go so far for school when you have been going next door? She supported me. And I think that started putting me on a trajectory to meeting people outside the community that I was raised with, that, I mean, people that I grew up in. So from then, I am in Mafumbuka, and the principal was amazing there. He really was very focused in ensuring that students worked hard. From the time you get school in up until you, it was all about education. And I think when I went to a Vukuzakhe, that opened my eyes about opportunities, not only just that, at that time, 1889, but that when you graduate from high school, that's the beginning of a long journey. So it really helped me to stay motivated. But I think at the core of all of this is my mom.
Now, Doc, any life lessons you'd like to share with us and the students of MUT and probably some of the alumni here at MUT? Any life lessons you've learned about your journey?
Have a plan. I think sometimes you want to jump into something and say, hey, I want to do something, but do you have a plan? Not only that, I always tell people, set SMART goals. Where you know, if I come to you and ask you, if things fail, do you have a backup plan? For example, I've been encouraging students here in the US and South Africa to say, if you say you want to go to a university or a technicon or anything, always have three majors in your pocket. So if one doesn't work out, maybe you are not accepted as a student at the particular institution, you have a fallback, second and third. Also, if you say, for example, for me, I really wanted to be a medical doctor. That is my passion of becoming a doctor, a medical doctor. And part of why I wanted to be a doctor was because my grandmother used to be very sick, and I wanted to save her. I wanted to be healthy. But when I look back now, was I going to be a good doctor? Honestly speaking, no. Because sometimes when I go to the doctor myself and they start to do certain things, I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, that is scary. So have a plan, but make sure that your plan, you've done some deep thinking as to why you want to pursue a career. And once you are in it, once you've chosen something, stay focused. Surround yourself with people who bring values that inspire, that encourage you to succeed in life.
That is very good. Thank you so much for those lessons, Doc. Now, Doc, I'm sure there are a lot of people that wants, or a lot of students rather, that wants to follow Mhlawumbe Path Yakho or the steps that you've walked. What are some of the opportunities that you might advise some of the listeners to look for when they're looking for work, maybe in the United States?
From the 90s or even 80s up to now, a lot of change has changed. First of all, the U.S. is a tough place to be. I mean, in terms of adjusting from home, it's very, very tough. Yeah. Yes, if people are serious about coming to the U.S. for job opportunities or for education, I always say if they are able to complete a four-year degree, that's a one way, if you want to be successful when you come to the US, is to finish a four-year degree. For example, when win an honors, if that's the case. And then you start looking for opportunities for graduate school, whether you want to do a master's or whether you want to do a PhD. That's the easiest way. If your goal is to come to the US just to find a job, it's different. I mean, I have friends of friends who've come here as au pairs. It becomes a struggle. In the US, I was thinking the other day, we have people who have two or three jobs to survive so they can support back home. Because we still have friends, we still have family who that we need to support back home. So again, have a plan. start to look for organizations that could help to support you in those programs. For example, if you want to come to the U.S., I would encourage people to, if possible, look at the U.S. Consulate Resource Center. They have a lot of information where you can either go online, they can tell about different institutions and some of the requirements, for example, of coming to the U.S. But for me, I would just say, if you want to come to the U.S., the priority should be finishing your education in South Africa, coming here for graduate school. But if you have done very well in high school, there are still some universities that do take students from outside the U.S. and give them funding or scholarship, but those are much fewer as compared to when I was in the 90s. USAID as a program is still there, but most of it is usually graduate students. So it's not as back then where it was mostly funding both undergraduate and graduate students. So do your research, look at which university you want to attend, see if they have any programs that could fund part of your education.
Okay. No, definitely, okay. Doc. After graduation, we are coming there, Nakanjan. Regardless of the number of graduates now in South Africa, the rate of unemployment is still increasing. What do you think, Wena Doc, is the primary cause of this and the solutions that the youth can apply to better the situation in South Africa?
Yes. I grew up as a young, so to say, business boy. So seeing my mom was struggling, I started looking at things. The whole family was struggling. I started looking at things that could help me to at least have money in my pocket. And, of course, people would say, oh, wow, why would you? Nowadays, there's so many people selling things on the street. So I started selling things on the street. Candy was and cookies were the things that I used to sell. So start looking for small things that will help you to be self-sustaining. Look for opportunities in things where you know. For example, now with social media, I look at YouTube as a program itself. Lots of people are using YouTube as a way to promote who they are. And unique. Look for your talent, where you are good at, and see how can I utilize YouTube as a path to help me succeed in life. That's just one example. I know what you're selling vegetables on the street, selling candies. There's high competition out there. But despite that, look for things that's unique, whether it's in comedy, if you're good in comedy. Yeah. If you have the talent, utilize it wisely. Also, try and look for places where you can get support from people. Like, for example, I mentioned the U.S. Consulate Resource Center. If you have a plan and you start looking for things, you'll find them. Be willing to move around. If you are from a Durban, just say, hey, you know what? I'm only going to look for jobs in Durban. I'm not saying that people in Joburg strike, but if there's an opportunity that you're seeing, don't say, hey, I don't want to apply for the post in Joburg. Apply for the post. Yeah. Maybe the one candidate that has a unique skill where you can then get accepted. Of course, I know the job situation in South Africa is tough. Whereas in the U.S., it's a different story. There's so many job openings. Companies are struggling to find people to work, partly because of the pandemic. Parents are having to stay home to support their kids, just to protect themselves against the pandemic. So look for opportunities in the U.S. If you have a unique skill that you feel could help you to find jobs, look at job openings and start applying, because you may be the one candidate that is selected for that job. Never give up.
I really wish to hear that sentence. 80 companies are really struggling to find people here in South Africa, but hopefully one day in South Africa lushintshe isimo. But now, Councillor Bele Doc, what are some of the US graduates, like the involvement of some of the US graduates towards economic development that SA graduates can learn from?
You know, I belong to a group of Mangosuthu Technikon alumni. So that's one of the groups that's, you know, we are trying to help out. For example, a lot of us, if we see specific scholarship programs, if we see training programs, our goal is to always make sure that we can share that information. We're a group, I think now above 80, if I'm not mistaken. So although we have not really been involved with programs where we do mentoring, where we do fundraising, I think that's part of the strategy for the group. Down the line, we want to make sure that we're on the ground helping students, but right now, but also making sure that you can utilize it in a wise way is even more powerful. It helps you to succeed more. So all I can say is that look for programs that can help you if you can. Or in this case, if people are looking for mentorship opportunities, I've mentored students here in the US, I've mentored students in South Africa, and, you know, informally. So I'm always willing to do that. If people are willing, I just would like to just chat about, you know, opportunities, if students about just want to chat about anything. So I'm there. If people would like to have a conversation about anything, about opportunities in the U.S. or other things. I believe in education. First and foremost, finish your studies.
Yeah, finish your studies. Thank you so much, Doc. But now, Doc, out of curiosity, DJ, how's the situation there, say, COVID-19 in the United States? Are still guys wearing masks, zonkezo zinto, that we are still experiencing here in South Africa?
Yeah, well, we are slowly moving away from the winter season. A lot of states are starting to relax. The mask situation has become too political, so I'm not going to try to discuss here because I'm not a politician, so yes. I try to stay away from politics. But it's a sensitive issue. But as an individual, I took a stand to ensure that I got all the vaccinations and boosted. So make a wise choice as an individual. Keep in mind that it's not about you. It's about your friends. It's about your family. It's about an elderly person out there who may be compromised. So you want to make sure that you protect them by doing the right things. You wear your mask or you take the vaccines. Do the right things. That's all I can say. Because it becomes very sensitive because there are people who are out there who are anti-mask. And they have reasons. I'm not going to disagree with them. But I can tell my stand is get vaccinated, wear a mask whenever it's required.
No, thank you so much, Doc, for joining us on MUT Radio.
Thank you so much, Dinesh.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.